It's time for us to begin another edition here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you to our program today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, we're going to continue a message that was begun in a previous broadcast. If you heard part one of the title, The Beauty of Holiness, then you should feel pretty good because today you're going to hear the conclusion of that message. And you probably need to hear the conclusion of that message because there was some really heavy stuff in part one of this message. So today, The Beauty of Holiness, part two. This is program number 212 in our series. Before our message begins, though, we're going to hear some music. Balm in Gilead.
Soul.
That's music by Wintley Phipps entitled Balm in Gilead from the CD release Favorite Spirituals. Here's our message for today. It's entitled The Beauty of Holiness, Part 2.
2 Chronicles verse 16, 26, 16 says that Uzziah achieved all his success, he became proud, pride led to his downfall, and oh, look at verse 33, and Uzziah died. Rested with his fathers, was buried in the royal burial grounds. Now, as I did some study on this, it showed that he was buried in the royal burial grounds, but he was not buried beside his ancestors in the tombs because he had leprosy. He was unclean. The Lord smote Uzziah because he had gone too far. And Joshua 1:8 says, you know, the Lord who blesses is able to bruise you. The same God who blesses you is able to break you. So for 52 years, Uzziah served as a king. But when his pride got out of hand, God struck him down. And from that day on, he was known as the leper who used to be a king. Woo! You know, the Bible says, and if there's any text that keeps me praying, there's any text in the Bible that keeps me praying, it is Ezekiel 3:20. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 20. This text keeps me on my knees. It says, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. I am very aware that I have got to walk close to the Lord. Because all the good that God has allowed me to do in a moment, it can be gone. And all the good will not be remembered. In other words, what the Lord is saying here, you know, when people mess up who have done good all their lives, this man had done 52 years of service to God. One moment of rashness, he decides he's going to go into the temple. And everything changes. I'm here to tell you, when your heart is full of pride and you're struck down, people will run from you like rats from a sinking ship. It's hard to find people on your side when you make a mistake. Somebody say amen. We even try to run from ourselves. We run from the, I didn't do it. If you get too full of yourself, I just want you to know that God knows how to pull the plug. Amen. Empty you of yourself. Yes. He wants you to remember there's only one big shot in this universe. Yes. And you got to seek him every day in your decisions, in your plans. He's the only big shot in this universe. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I tell you, I ask you as my church family, pray for me. Pray for me. I met with a great, great man of God that I have a lot of respect for. And he said to me that he was going through a terrible trial in his life. And he was so afraid that he was going to end his ministry under a cloud. And he said in that fear, God spoke to him through another friend and said to him, if I can handle the universe, surely I can be trusted with your reputation. Amen. Yes, sir. If I can handle the universe, surely you can trust me with your reputation. Uzziah lost it all. He lost his kingdom, his power, his favor with God and man. The same one who had been unanimously elected as king was now an outcast. He couldn't even go in the temple to pray. Because of pride, he lost his fame, he lost his honor. In death, he is remembered as a leper who used to be a king. 52 years he served with distinction, but now because of one foolish mistake, his life ends in a fizzle and a whimper. And God has impressed me to just say a word to some young person here today. If young lady, if you still kept yourself pure, hang in there. Don't lose that for some nonsense. You're almost getting ready to graduate from high school. Don't fool around like that. What a sad story it may seem. What good can come from this? Well, the Bible tells us that as a young prophet, Isaiah admired Uzziah. He was the prophet. I'm sure he was praying for the king. And he watched the king just being blessed upon blessed. And so when Uzziah made that mistake and fell, at the end of his life, the Bible says the day Uzziah died, the day Uzziah died, Isaiah said, that was the day that I saw the Lord. In the year that Uzziah died, God says, stay close. God gave his servant a glimpse into the chamber where he sits on his throne. In the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah received a vision of God arrayed in majesty. In his vision, Isaiah saw the angels who bow before the Lord in reverence and praise, singing the same song they have sung throughout eternity. Now, you know that is something. To have one song that God gives you to sing, three words for all eternity. Holy, holy, holy. In the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. Now, you know that's something. You can't see because your eyes are covered with two wings. Lord have mercy. Your feet are covered and you're flying around singing repetitive lyrics. Holy! Holy! The whole earth is full of his glory. Here we see Isaiah trying to describe the indescribable. And God showed Isaiah that Uzziah may be dead, but the Lord of hosts is very alive. He is still the sovereign over all the earth, the supreme monarch of the universe. Uzziah may have died, but God's still on the throne. Above the throne, those two seraphs are the representatives of the whole universe offering perpetual praise. In other words, they are there in God's presence as representatives of my praise and your praise. Holy to the divine one. Those spiritual beings, though perfect, could not approach God uncovered. That's why they had to use their wings to cover themselves. They are perfect and they couldn't come before God uncovered. And sometimes in scripture, when a name is repeated, it's taken to the second power. It has significance in the scripture. When it says, Peter, Peter, God wants you to pay attention. But rarely in the scripture is a word taken to the third power. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is taken to the third power. That means you better pay attention. What Isaiah saw in his vision of God left him thunderstruck. This majestic, powerful presence. There was smoke, fire, singing like he had never heard before. The whole place was shaken, but more than that, Isaiah was shaken. He fell to the floor, landed on his face, and hear the words that came from Isaiah. Woe is me. Woe is me. I am undone. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips. You know, and A. Hodge, a writer, once wrote, the holiness of God is not to be conceived of as one attribute among other attributes. It is rather a general term representing the conception of his consummate perfection. That word, holy, is a term that represents the conception of God's consummate perfection. It represents his total glory. That word, holy, that is an awesome word. It represents everything that God is. It represents his infinite moral perfection. It represents his infinite intelligence. It represents his infinite power. Holy, holy, holy. And when you come into the presence of that kind of holiness, it shocks your carnal nature. It shocks you as a human being. And when Isaiah saw this vision, he thought he was done for. He thought he was dead. But when Uzziah died, Isaiah caught sight of this king. And I love the fact, Isaiah expected God to kill him, you know. Isaiah said, I'm finished. I saw the holiness of God. I'm finished. He expected God to kill him, but suddenly in his vision, Isaiah sees one of the seraphs, one of the angels flying in the vision towards him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth, said Isaiah, and said, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is now taken away. Your sin is pardoned. Your sin is atoned for. One writer said that the burning coal was placed on his lips because God always knows the exact place where you need cleansing. You remember Isaiah said what? Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Now, that's another thing. When you get in the presence of the holiness of God, you can't fudge. You confess. You say, God, this is where I am having trouble. I am a man of unclean lips. Where are you unclean today? It may be your lips. I know a lot of people. God needs to put 3 or 4 coals on their lips because they are men and women. I said women. There was a time when you thought that only men spoke like that. Profanely. And you understand, but now. It's a different day now. And I know some people who just need God to take 3 or 4 coals. Because one is not going to do. Where are you unclean today? Are you unclean in your thoughts? God will send an angel from the altar with a coal to place in your mind so you can think straight. Are your feet swift to do evil? God will put a coal. And you find yourself going the other way. Are your hands full of mischief? God will send an angel to put a coal right in your hands. So the things you used to do, you don't do anymore. Are your hands full of mischief? Ask God to cleanse your hands. With the coal, God will purge you and make you holy. But before I leave you today, allow me to place before you, for your meditation, place before you that we don't really understand that we are going to be a lost people unless we embrace the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Be ye therefore holy, for I the Lord am. I am what? Holy. Now, this word holy comes from an old English word which means to be whole, halig. It means to be healthy. In other words, what health is to the body, holiness is to the spirit.
All right.
Amen. What health is to the body, holiness is to the spirit. And taken in its simplicity, holiness means health. It means that you're healthy spiritually. Last Sabbath, we were in British Columbia. We were outside of Vancouver. And I tell you, it was an incredible experience. We were driving along, and the driver pulled to the side and said, "Look up there. There's a bald eagle." And we pulled to the side, and high upon that tree, this bald eagle was just perched. And then he said, "You see these trees? These trees are dying because there's a little bug that burrows itself right under the bark. And God has so made this bug. It is a survivor. This bug produces its own antifreeze. And it has to get down to 40 below before you can kill this bug. This bug has its own antifreeze. Can't kill it. In your moral life, holiness is your only antifreeze. It's the only antifreeze you've got from the wicked ways of this world. It's the only way you can survive. It depends on the amount of holiness you've got going through your veins. Holiness. Holiness. Holiness is something God thought about. One writer said, God thought it. Our holiness. Jesus bought it. The Word taught it. The soul sought it. Faith brought it. The spirit wrought it. The devil fought it. But I've got it. Lady says, I've got it. It is the only spiritual antifreeze you've got. Before I leave you, holiness means that you're different than what you used to be. If you're very much like you used to be, you got a lot of work to get done. Holiness, you see, God, for us to live holy, and let me say it this way. I understand why God demands holiness of us because of what he paid to make it available to us. No wonder he doesn't say, do you mind possibly if maybe you can live? He says, be holy. Amen. He can demand it of us because of what he paid to provide it to us. His name is holy. His arm is holy. His wisdom is holy. His truth is holy. His mercy is holy. His works are holy. Holiness is at the very core of who God is. God is perfectly unpolluted by evil. He loves all truth. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. One of the favorite stories that I came across some years ago, I want to share it with you, about a young daughter of an artist lost her sight And through sickness, she was not able to see anymore. For years, she was thought to be incurable. Then a special operation was offered to her by a famous, noted eye specialist. And the mother of her child had died some years before. The father had been her companion, and while she lay in that darkened room with her eyes all bandaged, all she could think of was soon, one day, when they take these bandages off, I'll be able to see my father. See, God wants you one day to be able to gaze upon the beauty of holiness. And so you got to gird up your loins of your mind. You got to be obedient. Verse 14 of 1 Peter 1 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you, are you living holy? Or do you need God to send an angel from the altar, place a coal on your tongue, on your mind, on your feet, on your eyes, on your lips, on your hands?
That brings us to the end of our message today, to the end of part two of The Beauty of Holiness, which means that it concludes the whole message, The Beauty of Holiness. We hope that you heard both parts of it. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 212 today, which will give you the title, The Beauty of Holiness, Part 2. Also, if you would like to obtain more information about the music you hear on The More Abundant Life, please write to us at P.O. Box 1078, Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I do hope that you'll join us again for another program, but until then, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your